Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, May 21st, 2017. Pastor Wendy Camori Stager is preaching today's message, Frequency of Communion, from our worship series, OMG, Jesus is Alive. The Old Testament reading is from Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 through 15, and the Gospel reading today is from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19.
Be twice as much as they gather on the other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." Our New Testament text continues in our series of Jesus appearing to the disciples after the resurrection. And so often they respond with, "Oh my God, you're here." This is the second part of the story when Jesus cooked breakfast on the beach on the side of the Sea of Galilee. John 21, verses 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you to where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." Please join me in a word of prayer. God, we pray this day that you would send your Holy Spirit to help us understand you, to hear you, but not only hearing you, to be able to act in the ways that you long for us to act. Use me and my imperfect voice to still give glory to you by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm curious, what did you have for breakfast this morning? Toast with what on it?
Jam and butter.
Toast with jam and butter. What do you have for breakfast?
Almond butter and strawberry jam sandwich.
Almond butter and strawberry jam sandwich.
Cookies and cherries.
What do you have for breakfast this morning?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay, what do you have for breakfast this morning?
A tortilla with ham
on it. Excellent. Okay, but here's the thing. Why did you eat breakfast? It's necessary? It breaks the fast, right? Breakfast breaks the fast from overnight. Maybe you are hungry, maybe you're not. I mean, maybe you just sort of get up and eat because that's what your body needs to do, or you don't and you forget, or you rush and make it to church. Glad you're here. We eat food to nourish our bodies. The food is that fuel for our metabolism. A synonym for food is sustenance, because it is what sustains us and our life. And we need proper nutrition to have energy to grow and for cells to heal. So here's the other question. How many times a day do you usually eat? 3, 4, 1, 2? 3. I mean, right? We kind of have the three meals a day, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, but some diets recommend 5 to 6 smaller meals. Some people eat, you know, once a day, but pretty much no dietitian or nutritionist is recommending eating once a week. Our bodies need food and more frequent intake than that. I think food is central to our life and to our human experience and to our spiritual experience. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our daily bread. And in our Old Testament text today, we are reminded of God's provision of food daily for the Israelites who were in the desert. God set it up so that they were dependent upon the manna that came every morning. Later on in that story, you hear of the people who tried to stockpile enough manna for the next day, and they find that it rotted. They had enough for that day. God sustaining them day by day. On the Sabbath, or the day before the Sabbath, they could gather up twice as much, and then they would be sustained over the Sabbath, so they didn't have to do work. But it was a repetitive thing. It's not that God gave them some magic food that then they never had to eat again. It was every morning the manna came. In the New Testament reading, at this breakfast at the beach scene, Jesus shows up and cooks for the disciples. And he says, come, have breakfast. And after their breakfast, we focus in on a specific conversation he has with one of the disciples, Simon Peter. Jesus, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. You know I love you. Feed my lambs. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes! I love you. Tend my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know everything. You know I love you. Feed my sheep. And then Jesus says, follow me. Notice there's a lot of repetition in this story. And although lots of scholarly time has been spent on the different words for love that sometimes Jesus says, do you phileo me? And sometimes he asks, do you agape me? And less discussion about whether tending or feeding are synonyms or mean two different things, or sheep versus lambs. That's not what I want to examine today. For if we treat the verbs as really saying the same thing, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Why does Jesus have to say this so many times? 3 times, and right after one another. Well, we do know that Peter was the one who denied Christ 3 different times. And so one reason might be that we see him reinstated and reminded 3 different times. Yet also, those key verbs in this text, love, feed, follow, I noticed are not usually one-time actions. You don't just check off, oh, I fed and I'm done. You don't feed the lambs once and consider yourself a good shepherd. There's ongoing action that it takes to tend a flock, to keep them nourished over time. Because lambs, like humans, need to keep eating breakfast and grazing and being fed to survive. In these post-resurrection stories we've been looking at, the Doubting Thomas, the Road to Emmaus, this breakfast on the beach, there always seems to be food. This is a connection I had never realized before I started pulling this worship series together and studying the texts. And it's because the scripture kept saying, and then they sat and ate together, that I went back to the worship committee in session and asked them to approve communion weekly during this worship series. But then I got to wondering, how is it that we, Presbyterian churches, CPC, ever decided to do communion once a month anyways? How many of you are most familiar with once a month? Once a month's kind of what you grew up with. I mean, that's what I grew up with. I grew up in a Methodist church. How many of you are more familiar with weekly, Catholic, Episcopalian traditions, right? How many of you did like quarterly, like it was so special, it only happened like once a quarter, Monday, Thursday, super special things? So this morning I want to take you back on a brief history tour of communion and how frequently it happened or didn't. Well, we can go back to the Gospels, for Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me." But there's a remarkable absence of how it is to be done, and certainly how often it is to be done. If we look at the early community in Acts, it implies that the breaking of bread, which could be communion, could be breakfast, could be communal meals, was happening as often as the community of faithful gathered. And in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 11:26, with the instructions for coming as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup. So, it says often, it says when you gather, but it doesn't say how often. So historically, this has been interpreted that each church is free to discern for itself how often the communion and the Lord's Supper should be celebrated, as long as there's some frequency to it. Let's skip ahead to the late medieval practice. Lots of rules and power in the church in Europe. At that time, the sacrament was separated from the people. Only the celebrants, only the clergy, received the bread and the wine. The congregation sat on the other side and watched all the holiness happens. If you were not a member of the clergy and not ordained and you wanted to partake in communion, you needed to do penance and to be examined by a church authority. Sometimes they'd even give you a little coin, kind of like a little ticket, that would say, okay, you're good to receive the sacrament on Sunday. The most church authorities did serve communion to all the ordinary, unexamined Christians at least once a year. That was the minimum that was required by church law. So along come those pesky reformers, Martin Luther, John Calvin, and Calvin got pretty annoyed about this infrequency of communion. Why is it that only a few people get to take it and the rest of us only get it once a year? He wrote this, John Calvin, fiery guy. "Plainly, this custom which enjoins us to take communion once a year is a veritable invention of the devil, whoever was instrumental in introducing it. For there is not the least doubt that the sacred supper was in that era," referring to the early church, "set before the believers every time they met together. And there was no doubt that a majority took communion." So the reformers said, we got to have this much more often than once a year. And if Calvin had had his way, it would have been every single Sunday. But it didn't quite happen that way. The church officials said, wow, it's a lot of work to examine everybody. And so Calvin settled for a compromise. People would receive the Lord's Supper 4 times a year. And the other worship services would be preaching services. So you talk about the word spoken, but the sacrament not celebrated at all. So that it wasn't that some people got it more often and some people got it less often. Everybody got it about 4 times a year. Now in the last, skipping ahead, last 100 years ago, and especially in the last 20 years ago, Protestant leaders and theologians are reopening this question. Why are we not celebrating weekly communion? I only recently learned that the United Methodist Church, which is the denomination I was raised in, my parents are sitting in the back corner, hi Mom and Dad, and they're still at a United Methodist Church in Southern California, they are now recommending that their congregations move to a weekly celebration of the sacrament. They published a huge, you know, document called This Holy Mystery, which was adopted by the 2004 General Conference, which is their equivalent of like our General Assembly, about an authoritative contemporary statement and understandings of communion. But those are the Methodists. I went back and I thought, what did the Presbyterians say about this? And as written in our own Presbyterian Book of Honor, it's a book of order, it says this. The congregation should prepare themselves to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. If the Lord's Supper is celebrated less frequently than on each Lord's Day, that means Sundays, public notice is to be given at least 1 week in advance. Less frequently? So there seems to be openness to as often as weekly, but if there's an exception to it not being done weekly, then the congregation needs to be given notice so that no one who is looking forward to receiving the sacrament could miss it. And so it's in the announcements. And this church is diligent. Do you notice it there in the purple announcements? It'll say the next time communion is being served. And Bonnie Martin in the office, she is diligent about putting it in there. I've never been at a church that is so diligent about it, about saying, heads up, it'll be communion next Sunday, so that if you don't want to miss it, you've had due notice. Up the road a bit, at the Rockville Presbyterian Church in Fairfield, they're now celebrating communion every week. Yeah, where Larry Velardo is. And I think it's one of the very few Presbyterian Church USA congregations I have heard of doing that. Now, the main resistance that people articulate against weekly communion is that celebrating it more frequently will cause it to lose its special stature. There's a worry that if we do this too frequently, it'll become ordinary or routine. A secondary concern is it kind of takes work to put this together. It takes preparation and to clean everything up, or even the cost of the bread. And yet, the other side of that argument is you come to worship on a regular basis, you're fed, and we read scripture weekly. We sing some of the same songs. I don't hear anybody saying, it's okay if Wendy just preaches on the first Sunday of the month. Or at least if you are, you haven't told me. Yeah, there we go. When I was ordained to be a minister of word and sacrament. So I'm not on a campaign to advocate that we do weekly communion from here on out, here in this congregation. But I have to say that I'm intrigued by what I've learned this week in history and in scripture. And so I share these thoughts that we might wonder together, is once a month okay? Is it enough? Is it too often? Has this become too routine or blasé? And I get curious about how it's been for your spiritual life in these last couple weeks when we are partaking it more frequently. For I think there's a lot to this meal and a lot to us gathering at this table. And it's time to look at it again. The Belgic Confession, which is one of the confessions we have in our Book of Confession, says this: Our Savior Jesus Christ has ordained and instituted this Holy Supper to nourish and sustain those who are born again and grafted into his family, his church. Christ has instituted an earthly and visible bread as the sacrament of his body, and wine as the sacrament of his blood. Just as truly as we take and hold the sacraments in our hands and eat and drink them in our mouths, by which our life is sustained, so truly we receive into our souls for our spiritual life the true body and true blood of Jesus Christ, our only Savior. We receive these by faith, which is the hand and mouth of our souls. This banquet is a spiritual table at which Christ communicates himself to us with all his benefits. By the use of this holy sacrament, we are moved to a fervent love for God and our neighbors. So friends, it is Christ's table, and Christ is the one who says, I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus invites you to come and be nourished day by day. In that spirit, Christ invites all who are hungry and longing to be at this table. Please join me in a word of prayer. Holy God, we praise you. Let the heavens be joyful and the earth be glad. We bless you for creating the whole world and for your promises to your people Israel and for Jesus Christ in whom your fullness dwells. Born of Mary, he shares our life. Eating with sinners, he welcomes us. Guiding his children, he leads us. Visiting the sick, he heals us. Dying on the cross, he saves us. Risen from the dead, he gives new life. Living with you, he prays for us. With thanksgiving, we take this bread and this cup and proclaim the death and resurrection of our Lord. Receive our sacrifice of praise. O God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this meal may be a communion in the body and blood of our Lord. Make us one with Christ and with all who share this feast. Unite us in faith, encourage us with hope, inspire us to love, that we may serve as your faithful disciples until we feast at your table in glory. We praise you, eternal God, through Christ, your word made flesh, and the holy and life-giving Spirit, now and forever. Amen. It was when Jesus...
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.